الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as we meet again on this blessed day of Yom al-Jum'ah, day of Friday, to reflect, reflecting from last week, as we said, about the issue of Hajj and the issue of sacrifice and the Hujjaj that happened to lose their life, become shaheed in the stampede. Continuing on the same topic, we ended last Friday the khutbah on what did we sacrifice. We, as meaning American Muslims living here in America. Those Hujjaj, they sacrificed their life. They went for Hajj, hoping that they would come back and meet their loved ones, their parents, their families, but they're no longer here. They're in Jannah, inshallah. And but those of us who didn't go for Hajj, who celebrate our Eid here, and we are still in Zil Hajj, we're still in the month of Hajj, in the month of Rahmah, in the month of sacrifice, it is time for us to reflect and think about the bounties and blessings of Allah, the things we do, and what can we sacrifice? What can we do right here in America, in New Jersey, in Morris County, so that we also give something in the plate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Allah, iqbal minna hadhihi al-udhiyah. Oh Allah, accept this sacrifice from us, this gesture, khalisan li wajhika al-kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Yunus, Surah 10, verse 58, about the philosophy of mankind, human being. We as human beings, we're always busy hustling and bustling and engaged in accumulation. Tajamma, al-jam'a. Gathering and accumulating and hoarding up things. We're always accumulating things. Whether it's food or staples at home, or whether it's money, or whether it's clothes, whether it's house, whether it's property, whatever we are, we're doing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the philosophy of Islam, in the psychology of life as a Muslim, that the best thing that you can accumulate and gather and jama and hoard up as a reservoir is something that belongs to Allah. Listen to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. What a beautiful ayah. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this ayah, and then to all of us Muslims who believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ, say, بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. الْفَرَحْ, فَرَحْ in the sense of exuberation, exhilaration, happiness, feeling happy. When do you feel happy, brothers and sisters? Is it when you get something, or is it when you help alleviate the problems and difficulties of someone? You help a brother remove their difficulty. At that moment, the feeling of joy, the happiness. Someone who is starving to death, and you gave them food, and the smile you see on their face, the willingness that they want to kiss your hand because you gave them food and they were starving for weeks. Someone who was ready to be evicted from their house, apartment, because they could not pay rent, you go there and help them, and you see the smile in the eyes of their son and daughters, that thank God my father is not without a roof, and thank Allah that I am not on the street because this Muslim brother helped pay the rent. Is this happiness? Yes. Not the happiness that you got a new job. Not the happiness that you got promoted in your job. Not the happiness that you can start open another shop as a franchise or a chain. Not the happiness that you got married. Yes, they are all happiness. But the happiness, the true happiness and joy and exuberation that Allah is talking about in this area is when you alleviate, remove the problems of your own Muslim brothers and sisters. That's why Allah SWT tells us, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْدُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْدٍ يَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ الْمُنْكَرِ. The believing men and the believing women are friends and protectors of one another, are close to one another. How? They enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil. And that is what Allah is saying in this ayah. قُلْ Tell them, Ya Rasulullah, O my beloved Prophet, tell the believers, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَلْيَفْرَحُ هُوَ خَيْرٌ هُوَ إِيش هُوَ الرَّحْمَةِ هُوَ الْفَضْلِ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. That is the best that they can gather, more than what they're gathering in this dunya. The money that you gather, the food that you gather, the clothes that you gather, the assets and properties that you gather, the children that you gather, the things that you gather. None of this is compared to the gathering that Allah is talking about, because He's saying negation everything. هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Whatever you gather, there is something better than that. No matter what the highest point you gather in this dunya, there is always something better than that. And what is that, Ya Allah? فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ. The fadl, the blessing, bounty of Allah, and the rahmah of Allah. Who wouldn't want the mercy of Allah? Tell me one sane Muslim on the face of this earth that would say no to Allah's rahmah, that would turn away from the rahmah of Allah. They would be insane. You would say, hey, this is not a Muslim. There's something wrong in the brain. They say no to the biggest richness and treasure of Allah, and that is His rahmah. And that is what Allah is saying in Surah Yunus. Yunus alayhi salam, the prophet, after him, this surah's name. In that surah, in verse 58, Allah's mother is talking to me and you, the Muslims. Qul, say, bi fadlillah, with the fadl of Allah. Fadl here can mean bounty, blessings, ni'mah, everything, a good job, a good wife, a good husband, good children, good house, good living, anything is fadl. Good clothes you wear, this is fadl of Allah. Had Allah not willed it for you, where would you get it from? And that is what Allah is saying. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ And His rahmah. First thing mentioned here in the ayah is the bounty, the blessing, the ni'mah, the gift of Allah. Then Allah says after that, وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ And His mercy. His mercy is the icing on the cake. His mercy is above all the bounties that we rejoice and enjoy in. And He says, فَلْيَفْرَحُ Let the believers, let those who believe in Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let them rejoice. Let them have a joy and merry and happiness in the fadl of Allah and in the rahmah of Allah. Huwa, it's pointing towards the bounty and the rahmah of Allah. Huwa khayrun mimma yajma'un. It is better than anything that they can compile and accumulate. Meaning, the hint Allah is giving to me and you, brothers and sisters, is share your bounties and your blessings with your fellow brothers and sisters where you live. Where you live, not where you are thinking about. Yes, in this Eid, many of us, we sent our qurbani, our udhiyah. Many of us, we sent our sacrificial animal, the goat, the lamb, the cow, back home, overseas. It's human nature. It is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But Allah is asking a question to me and you. What about your brothers and sisters right here in New Jersey, in New York, in Detroit, in Georgia, in Houston, in California? Who's going to help them? If all of us are going to send the money back over there, who's going to look after them? Like I said to once a brother, he said, oh, Allah is there for them. Yes, of course Allah is there for them. But Allah is also giving us ample opportunity to be one of the means and vehicle to be the help and support for them. If Allah wants, He can give them direct support without our thing. But wouldn't you want to be used and utilized in the process and processes of being a help to your fellow Muslim brother and sister in this country? Who's going to help them? They are asking you, these brothers and sisters who are deprived, who are destitute, who are impoverished, they are asking you in this Eid, in this month of Zulhajj, oh my brothers and sisters in Islam, who have a blessing of Allah, fadl of Allah, who have the rahmah of Allah, who have a roof on their head, who have money in their pocket, who have food in their stomach, who have a job to look forward to. What are you doing for us? This is the question in this Eid, in this month of Zulhajj, in these last few days of this Hijra calendar before the next year starts. Allah is asking us, and they living here in this country along with us, hiding, having embarrassment and shyness, khajal, yakhjalun, One who is really a true mu'min, that he is shy to come out in the open to be exposed and stretch their hand and say, brother, help me. Begging is like the last resort. A person becomes a beggar when they are totally closed from all avenues. They are desperate. Nothing. When they can't see their children die. That's when somebody will resort to begging. But the fitrah of iman is, the iman, the power of iman is that one who believes in Allah, yatawakkalun, they trust and depend on Allah, and they don't like to come in the open. It is my and your job and duty, fard ayn, that we go out and search and look for them, and find out, and help them. This is what Rasulullah said to the Sahaba. He said, يَنْبَغِي عَلَيْكَ, it is mandatory for you, all my Sahaba, all my companions. It's mandatory for you to go out and look for such people who are in dire need. But they never even say uff from their tongue. They hide, they cover up their circumstances, their deficiencies. They cover it up in their own darkness of their life and enlighten it with their iman, the candle of iman. They don't even let know their own neighbor what to talk about others. But it is mine, your job, because Allah will ask us on the Day of Judgment. Allah will say, I was hungry, you did not feed me. And the Bani Adam will say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, the master of dominion of the universe, how can you be hungry? And I did not know about it. Allah will reply back on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, my slave, he or she was hungry that night in America, in New Jersey, in Morris County, in Sussex County, in Passaic County. You slept with a full belly in your house. You slept in the warmth and coziness of your comfort or your heat in your house in January 2006. But there was one slave that was shivering and rattling with the bone-chilling weather, and you did not come and meet me. Had you helped her or helped him, you would have found me, oh my slave. At that time, you know what the mu'min will say in Yawm al-Qiyamah? Shucks, I missed it. Oh, man. Allah, give me a chance. Let me go back to the dunya. Give me one more chance and I'll do this thing. No. Allah will say, too late, buddy, too late. You had the chance, the only chance. You never even cared less about it. Then Allah will say, I was without a roof. I was without a clothing. You did not help. Again, the Bani Adam will say in Qiyamah, how on earth can this be possible, Ya Allah? And Allah will again direct to them that such and such slave of mine, such and such Muslim and Muslimah in your neighborhood, in your society, in your vicinity, was in this destitute condition. What did you do about it? Oh, I just donated to the masjid. Oh, I just gave it to that organization. Yes, a penny here, a penny there, a dollar here, 100 there is fine. But isn't about time for us to wake up from our sleep and slumber, get on our feet, and proactively search, ask people, ask these organizations, what are you doing in the name of Allah? Where are you getting the money from? Can we be of any help? Ask yourself this question, and I ask myself first and foremost, what have I done? Ask yourself, what have I done in the last year or so, this year that Allah gave me blessing and ni'mah? What have I done to initiate, to perpetuate, to find out, to seek, to find out, is there any help needed in New Jersey? Did I call anybody? Did I ask anybody? Did I search? Did I go to the masjid? Did I go to the masjid and ask the president? Mr. President, as much as funds you have for zakat in your masjid sitting, what have you done with it? We are sleeping in a slumber, brothers and sisters. Why? Because our bellies are filled. Our clothes are warm and cozy. Our cars are running and fine. You know the importance of car when your car breaks down and you're stuck on the highway. And then you know, oh, the last time I saw someone stuck on the highway, I should have stopped. Should have lended a hand, even if they didn't need. And that is exactly the memento of this ayah. Allah is saying, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَلْيَفْرَهُ Subhanallah. فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَهُ بِذَلِكَ Allah is saying, هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ That is better than what you gather and accumulate. To become what? To become those who are friends of Allah. Awliyaullah. It's not easy to become a friend of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Ibrahim alayhi salam as Khalilullah, Wali, as a friend, an intimate, close friend. Wali. Allah does not make anyone from the Muslimin a Wali. to become a wali, you have to go for darajat, maratib. You have to climb up the ladder, the stairs. Muslim, and then mu'min, and then muhsin, and then muttaqi, and then muqarrib, and then siddiq, and then all the way up to the wali. Because what does Allah say about a wali? Did you ever hear about it? If you read this hadith of Rasulullah, which is the hadith Qudsi, that is Allah saying it through the Rasulullah. If you hear this hadith, your hair on the skin will raise up. You will see a chill down your spine, and the thirst and bustling of your heart will say, Allah, I want to be your wali. I want to be your friend of Allah. Listen to the words of Rasulullah and Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said through the Rasulullah to us, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِي فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Whoever afflicts a pain, a damage, a harm on my wali, Allah is saying this, whoever inflicts a pain, a harm, a problem to Allah's friend, then I declare war on that person. Allah is saying this, He's declaring war. Not me and you, not Rasulullah. Allah, the master, the originator, the provider, the sustainer, the giver of life, He is saying, I will declare war on that person who dare even harm and hurt my wali. Now you might say, how do we know somebody's wali? That's the thing, that's the key. You don't know who's a wali. Maybe these poor people, impoverished people, destitute people, desperate people, in need people, maybe they are wali of Allah, maybe they are awliya of Allah, and there's no one coming to their help, and every night they're beseeching Allah, oh Allah, do something, oh Allah, do something. And they're crying, and they're crying, and that's all they can do. And Allah is saying, you Muslims living there in New Jersey, you are hurting and harming my wali, my awliya. You don't come to their aid. You don't come to their rescue. And you say, oh, I donated. Donation is not enough, brothers and sisters. That's what Allah is saying. That's what He's saying. Allah is saying, gather the rahmah of Allah. Gather the bounties of Allah. And how can you, what is the real meaning of fadlillah over here? Allah says, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَعُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Now you understand the ayah. The fadl of Allah that Allah is meaning here is good deeds. You bring a smile on a young child, on a woman, on a sister, on a brother, that is a fadl of Allah. You bring happiness to a family. You save a family from going to a homeless shelter. You save a family from eviction. You save a family from poverty. This is the fadl of Allah. Jannah, gather this. That's what Allah is saying. Go out, search actively, proactively. Gather it. And when you gather that, you also gather with it the twin rahmah. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِي. You gather the fadl of Allah and you gather the rahmah of Allah. فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرِ. And let you be known, O Muslim and Muslimah, when you gather this good deed and this happiness by helping a poor Muslimah right here in America, you are gathering the rahmah of Allah, then you should be happy about it. Don't be happy about how good a mansion you built in America. Don't be happy about it that you lived the American dream. Don't be happy about how much money you have there in the bank account. Don't be happy about it that how much children, how much clothes and food you have. But Allah is saying in His ayah, be happy and rejoice about the number of people you helped. The number of people you saved them from poverty. The number of people you saved the roof on top of their head. Be happy about that. Why? Because with that comes the mercy of Allah. And for whom is the mercy of Allah? That might be a valid question, right? Listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Araf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Araf, Surah 7, verse number 156, He says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Subhanallah. Allah is saying, my rahmah, meaning Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy, وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. It is so vast that it outnumbers every tallest, longest thing in this universe. Not just the dunya, universe. Think of the longest thing. Think of the tallest thing. Think of the most widest thing that you can think. Allah is saying, my rahmah is wasi' than that. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. In كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, everything is included. What is Allah? Whose For who belongs this rahmah? Allah says in this ayah, the next word is after that, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسَعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا. Listen to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's saying, فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا. I will write my rahmah, the vast rahmah that I have, I shall write it down. For who? فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِمَنْ يَا اللَّهُ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Three conditions. You want to get the rahmah of Allah? You want to get this vast, huge mercy that outnumbers the universe, outnumbers the planet of Earth and Jupiter's rings and everything? You want to get that? Three conditions. فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا. Number one condition, لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ تَقْوَى. What is taqwa? Not just fearing Allah, not just staying away from the sins, not just doing the good deeds and praying on time. Yes, that is part of the taqwa. Real taqwa, feeling the pain. The pain in heart, the depression. I got food tonight, I got food today. What about some brother or sister tonight went, slept on the bed, empty stomach? This is taqwa. This is khashya min Allah. Allah, I dread from the day on qiyamah when you would ask me, you had a full belly, you had a nice comforter, you had a nice mattress. But there was a Muslim brother or sister right there living in a homeless shelter, shivering because the shelter did not have enough money to pay the heat bill. Why? Because the shelter talked to many people, but people would care less. They were busy rejoicing in their things. They never cared of donating money here. They would rather send money to Pakistan, to India, to Sri Lanka, to Syria, to Bangladesh, to Egypt. Yes, that's also good. But we also have a haq, a right, to take care of these people. Why should they be the forgotten lot? Why should they be forgotten about? Is there anything going to come for them? No. It's us. And that's why Imam Abu Hanifa said, when it comes to zakat, in the Hanafi madhab, look at the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa. He said, it is more incumbent for you, it is fard for you to give your zakat first in the place you're living, because there are more mustahiq. There are nobody there. At least the Muslims in other countries, there are Muslims living there. The locality, the local people there, they can help. But you're sending all your zakat there, you're sending all your donations there. Who's going to look after them? He said, first suffice and satisfy the people there, and when you've satisfied there, you have leftover zakat money, send that over there, Imam Abu Hanifa. And that's what Allah is saying here. I will write the rahmah for those people who have taqwa. فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ وَيُعْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ. And they're always giving zakat. Zakat here doesn't just mean zakatul mal. Zakat also here means sadaqah, donation. Yes, once in a year you give zakat. Or for that person who says, I don't have to give zakat. Zakat is not fard on me. Yes, we accept that. That's true. Because it's conditional. But Allah has given you still money. You can give donation. You don't have to give donation of 1,000, 1,000,000. Even a penny counts. A penny counts, brother and sister. So this is the shaitan. Shaitan wants to scare you. Wants to fear you. Because shaitan says to, in the whisper in the mind, oh, zakat is not fard on me. I don't fulfill the condition of zakat. That means I don't have to give any money. I'm free. I'm off the hook. This is human nature. Shaitan wants to alleviate you from the conditions and say you're off the hook. You're free. You have no injunction on you. Allah is not going to ask you why you didn't give zakat. But Allah is going to ask you, you could have given a penny, a dollar, a dime. Would that make you poor? Would that make you on the road? No. This is how shaitan. And Allah is telling us in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, verse 268, very clearly, that look, when shaitan scares you with poverty and fear, don't listen to him. Don't lend an ear to his whispers, because that's what his job is. He has a job. We all have a job, right? You have a job description, you have a profession, you get a paycheck. You know what shaitan's paycheck is? The number of Muslims he can take away from Jannah and put them in hellfire. The more the number, the fatter the paycheck for shaitan, Iblis. The more he can fill people in Jahannam, Nar Jahannam, wal-ayyadu billah, may Allah save us from that, all of us here, the more he will be successful. And so what does Allah say about him in Surah Baqarah, verse 268? الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويعمركم بالفحشاء. What a clear, how clear can Allah be more than this? So distinct, so succinct and discreet. الشيطان, shaitan, you know shaitan? Yes, what about it? يعدكم الفقر, he threatens you. The word ya'id over here means threatening, challenge. He threatens you with faqr, poverty. Oh, I'll become homeless. Oh, I will have clothes to wear. Oh, if I give this much, I'll be on the road. I'll be in the shelter. I'll need assistance. This is shaitan target into the person. Why? To save your hand from going where? To the pocket, to the wallet. And then we have people who listen to this ayah, and yet they brought everything from their house. Wait a second, not everything. They looked for the shelves. They went on the shelf in the cupboards. Is there anything left? No, everything. Gather everything, put it in the thing, in the pot, in the bag, and came to Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, here is everything. Rasulullah asked this person, what did you leave for your family behind, for your children and wife? This person says, I searched everything, I emptied my house bare to the minimum. Why? Because I left behind for them Allah and you, Ya Rasulullah. Who is this? The first Khalifa, Sayyidina Abi Bakr. He got scared from this ayah. He said, Shaitan, no way, you're not having a way on me. You have no say on my life. You're going to threaten me with poverty? Here, Shaitan, take it in your face. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to empty my house, leave behind a legacy that Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab cried profusely, and he said, لَقَدْ أَطْعَبَ السِّدِّيقُ لِمَنْ بَعْدَهُ. These words of Umar ibn Khattab are so mind-boggling, send the shiver in your spine, that look, who is saying this? The second Khalifa to be, he says that Abu Bakr Siddiq has raised the bar, has raised the threshold that no one can reach there. You know, like the high jump in the Olympics? Everybody comes with a stick and tries to go over the hurdle. Abu Bakr Siddiq, he emptied his house because of this ayah. He said, no, Shaitan, you're not having a say in my house. I'm going to clean up every single thing. Not a single penny or dime or any jewelry, anything in my house. And Rasulullah said, here you are. Everything here. So he asked him spontaneously, what did you leave behind? What is he saying? I left behind the treasury box. Allah, is it sufficient? Allah gave me in the first place, He'll give me again. So what if I clean up my house? Am I being oppressive to my children? No. This is the thing that me and you as males, as husbands have to understand. As fathers and husbands of society, as the leaders of your household, Amir al-Bayt, you have to understand this, brothers. That by entering the house, he is not depriving his children. Rather, he is doing the best barter, trade, tijara that anyone can do. He is getting more from Allah. Because for Allah's sake, would you think that Allah will despair and leave his children alone in the dark? Never. And that's why this is where you, your manhood comes into play. That when you're writing that check, you're emptying. And the wife says, hey, wait a second. The bills, the son, the daughter, the education, the tuition. You say to them, look what Abu Bakr Siddiq like. For a change, let me just feel it. Let me feel how did Abu Bakr feel. Let me write. Don't stop my hand. Don't stop this pen or my wife, beloved wife. Inshallah, trust in Allah and you'll see Allah will give you more. And if that wife remains steadfast with you, Allah will show it to you. But if she turns the other way, then Allah will show also. And that is what Allah is saying. أَشْشَيْطَانُ يَعْدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ وَيَعْمِرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ. Shaitan threatens you with poverty, with fear of poverty, you're going to become poor. And he also orders you to do fahsha, which is the plural of fahsh. Fahsha in the sense of evil, sinful things. Meaning being rude to people, somebody comes for help, you turn them away, you be arrogant to them, stubborn to them. You say, oh, mind your own business, don't disturb me, don't bug me. Oh, you guys keep coming asking for money. You know, brothers and sisters, it's not easy to ask for money. It takes a great deal just to stand in front of people to ask money. Oh, Allah al-Azim, had it not been for the Islamic thing today, that we had the proper Islam, like the time of the Sahaba, no one single person would ask in any masjid, in any place, no one would be asking. Why? Because we would have a Baytul Mal, a waqf, where they will always help the poor and needy. Where is our Baytul Mal? Where is our waqf? Are we sleeping? Are we not afraid of death? Are we not afraid of us answering to Allah? That He will say, you had plenty. Did you try something to bring back the old glory days of Islam? Like the time of Abu Bakr, of Umar, of Uthman, of Ali, and of all these people who had a Baytul Mal. A Baytul Mal is a public property, a place, a bank account where there are millions of dollars sitting there to help who? The poor and needy. It's not my money, your money, anybody's money. It is Allah's money in a central place, and that is how the people used to help in the past. Since we don't have that today, anywhere in the world, that is why we answer to those comments and criticism that people say, why do Muslim imams keep asking and asking and begging? It looks bad. Yes, it looks bad. Believe you me, it looks bad more for the person who's asking than the one who's giving. But what can we do? We go to help. We can't let these people starve and die. We can't let these people come on the street, be evicted. These are your sisters. These are my sisters. Sisters who've been battered from the husbands. Sisters who've been abused. Sisters whose husbands have left like that. And sisters who can't even find a job, who can't help, they're sick, some of them have cancer, they have children, they can't be fed in a shelter. They're going to be evicted. Who's going to help them? So make sure you help today. We have Brother Musa here from Ikna Relief, from Ummah, and that is the purpose of us coming and talking here. That there's a homeless shelter functioning in New York from this organization where they held or help in that 35-40 sisters. These are sisters whose husbands have run away, have stopped them, deserted them, or just abused them, battered them with baseball bats and whatnot. And they are fearful. Yes, you can say, why don't they go and report? But the thing is missing, absconding. Where are you going to catch him? Also, food program. They help food, help feed the poor, the homeless. Every Sunday, about 150 to 200 people eat food thanks to the Ummah and Ikna Relief Organization. They cook food with the money that they get help. And then they bring the food to 42nd Street and they help anyone, Muslim, non-Muslim, anyone. And then they have financial assistance services for families that are below the poverty line, families who can't even pay rent. There are people who are 2 months, 3 months behind their rent. They have no means. And of course, by all means, it goes without saying that they verify, they check before disbursing the money. But they are out of money. No money. When I heard this from the brother, I was shocked to my death. I said, SubhanAllah. I have to do something. I can donate and I can ask others to donate. That's the best I can do. I can go out physically and probably help. But where are we sleeping? Where are we? What are we doing? We have to raise the awareness. We have to voice the opinion. We have to inform. And mind you, don't have the misconception. The misconception, perception people have, oh, it's always whenever there's poor and needy, whenever it's homeless, whenever it's a battered woman shelter, it's going to be the indigenous Afro-American sisters. No, brothers. Brother Musa is here. You have the freedom of your time after Juma. You can ask him. More than 65% of the people that they are helping is immigrant Muslim sisters, not indigenous. More than 70% of the people that are in the homeless shelter, in the battered woman shelter, are immigrant Muslims. Husbands married them over there overseas, brought them here, then ditched them, deserted them, ran away. And now they're helpless. You might say, oh, why don't they go back? No, they have children, they have things, they have problems, they have difficulties, they have circumstances. Sending them back is not the solution. That's running away from the problem. You came here, why don't you go back? Before any brother tells me that send these sisters with their kids on the plane packing home, I should say, brother, you should leave first, lead by example, role model, and then I will send these sisters, my sisters, your sisters too. But if you have no one, you want to stay here, let these sisters stay here and pitch in from the money. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لكم وسلم فاستغفرونه غفور رحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه من سنة بسنة يوم الدين أما بعد. In conclusion, very shortly, the verses in Surah Yunus, verses 62 to 65, is telling us about how we can become the friends of Allah by alleviating and removing the problems of these brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters, your brothers and sisters. They're not related to you and me by blood. They're not related to me and you by my family, by my father or cousins. But they're related to me and you because of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And this same Rabbul Izzah wal Jalala will ask me, you had family over there that you did not take care of. And you will say, wait a second, my brother was there, my sister was there, yeah, I took care of them. Which family are you talking about? This is the family of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Yunus, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Certainly, those who become the wali of Allah, the friends of Allah, the closest people of Allah, those لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. You know what you're going to get in reward, what we are going to get? By helping these people, we become we become qualified to become wali of Allah. And who knows, Allah will choose us as wali. When Allah chooses me and you as his wali, he is telling us you will have no fear and no depression whatsoever in your life. You will see your life, your career life, your family life, your own life will become so satisfied, so peace and tranquil, so sakinatam inina. Problems, it's not that problems will go away, problems will come, but they'll be dissolved and solved so quickly that even you will gasp, wow, how did that happen? Then you remember, oh yeah, I helped such and such brother and sister. I donated to Ummah. I donated to Ikna Relief that helped Muslim sisters who have bruises and are literally gasping. I mean, if you look at some of these conditions, you feel like crying. Not even crying, but profusely. What if it happened to your sister, your daughter? Would you survive? You would sink into the ground. So isn't she my and your sister? Yes, it's erroneous. It's so disgusting for that male that did such a thing. And yes, we have to accept this. We can't put this, keep on covering under the carpet that Muslim males don't be abusive. The Muslim males don't do that. No, they do that and they're out there. Me and you, we need to go there. What are you doing? There's someone getting 15 years imprisonment. There's someone getting deported. There's someone getting 10 years imprisonment. They're getting solitary confinement. Yes, the adil, the justice is there. But we have to do our part too. We have to become awliya of Allah. And that is what Allah is saying. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَافٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who believe in Allah and do taqwa. How taqwa? Not just fear Allah from the sins, not just fear Allah to do the good deeds, but fear Allah by reflecting in their mind that, oh Allah, this fadl, this ni'mah, this rahmah that you have given me, how can I share it with others? How can I go out and seek and find out who needs help and let me help? Let me do my part. Let me seek to the best of my capability. And if after that I don't find anyone, at least I can sleep tonight peacefully saying, I did my job on my part, Allah. And that's what Allah says, Lahumul Bushra. For whom is the Bushra, the good news, the glad tidings? For me and you who help alleviate the problems of such people. Lahumul Bushra fil hayat al-dunya wa fil akhirah. Who knows? Allah knows best that this help that you do today, that you donate 1,000, 500, 100, whatever is your sitah, whatever, whether silently or whether alaniya, announcing wise, whatever you have today, this becomes a source of retribution and reward and saving from Lord, not just for you, but your wife, your son, your daughter, your mother, your father. And Allah, because He said, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. The rahmah of Allah is so vast that because of your one deed today, He will forgive your whole nasl generation. He can do that. There's no doubt about that. And that is what Allah is saying, لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِكَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ. Allah doesn't go back on His word. If He promises you something, He will fulfill it. So inshallah, after the salah, if you can just stay for another 2 minutes, and we will gather the money for the brothers and sisters who are in this project helping. And we also pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give our brother Abdul Hamid Shafa'a, who had some problem in surgery with his leg. May Allah give him Shafa'a Kamila. Allahumma ishfi mardana wa mardal muslimin. Allahumma ishfi al-akh Abdul Hamid ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma ishfi shafa'an kamil la yughadir saqman. Allahumma ishfi al-muslimin wal-muslimat, al-mu'minin wal-mu'minat.